You're listening to the Youth Crick Podcast on KHZ Network. Find us on Facebook at WUNG Radio and find us on Twitter at WUNG. If you like this episode, please leave a like and comment on our iTunes page at KHZ Network. And now for the podcast.
Senate committee will now hear from Jacob Lawson, Climate ISS Chief Coordinator. May the record reflect that he was nearly 1 hour late.
Yeah, sorry about that. I literally had to fly in from outer space.
Thanks to a system of satellites, natural disasters have become a thing of the past. We can control our weather.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Youth Critic Podcast. I'm your host, Kale Smith. Joining me today is Chris Patton.
The one and only. And by that, I mean the one and only who would show up to the Geostorm podcast. Apparently my standards aren't low enough yet.
Well, it's weird. You come on the podcast when we only talk about either mediocre or bad movies.
I don't know. I kind of like talking about bad stuff better than good stuff.
Wait a minute. Were you on It?
No, I wasn't.
So, oh, okay.
Yeah, no, I skipped out on that one.
Okay. So anyway, like Chris said, we are going to be talking about Dean Devlin's
Geostorm.
Yep. Directorial debut.
The box office sensation of 2017.
Right behind Tyler Perry's Halloween, whatever. Electric Boogaloo, whatever.
Electric Boogaloo. Oh, that would have been a much better title. Oh, whatever. Well, so Kale, what'd you think about Geostorm?
It was actually...
Well, that's all the time we have for today. Let's cancel the podcast early. Look, can I just be a little bit informal? And you got to keep this in the podcast.
Okay.
What is there to talk about?
Oh, there's quite a bit.
I was going to say, because this is only going to be like a half hour. And I'm like, I don't even know how we can fill out a half hour of this.
I have quite a bit to say. And the reason why this podcast won't be 3 hours long is because I'm going to keep it as short as possible. I've been trying to minimize my thoughts down to 20 minutes. As you were asking, it's actually a stupidly awesome movie. Like, this is...
Well, it's stupid.
It's not a great movie. It's not a bad movie. It's just stupidly awesome. I mean, halfway through this movie,
the second half is stupidly awesome when it starts to have fun. The first half is nothing but computer monitors.
Computer monitors, video conferences, everyone sitting in rooms. It's like the Phantom Menace almost.
The two brother characters, Gerard Butler and what's-his-face, their entire interaction, 90% of the movie, is looking at a wall.
Except when they're in Florida at a trailer that's on the beach.
Yeah, but 90% of the time, they're like not in the same room together. They're just talking at each other.
I wonder if the reshoots had anything to do with them having scenes with them like outside, like together. Like, they didn't act at all together. They just, until the reshoots.
I guess so. But the only scenes they have together is the opening scene at the courthouse and three scenes. That the courthouse scene at the beginning where he says he just flew in from space, which is in the trailer. Spoilers. The next part, which is him.
It's a spoiler.
Cares? We're going to talk all about the spoilers of Geostorm. Who cares? They saved the day. They stopped the Geostorm before it happens. There. Anyway,
it's
when they meet and he says, hey, you need to go stop the Geostorm and go up to the space station. And then at the end, when Gerard Butler comes back to Earth,
And like, when they go fishing together.
Oh, yeah. And then they go
fishing. And when they go fishing together right off the shore of a beach, which is legitimately impossible. It's stupid.
Yeah, what fish are you going to catch? Yeah.
Yeah. What fish is going to just come up to the shore and bite on your hook? That's legitimately dumb.
I honestly, what I think is that it'd be weird if those were part of the reshoots, because those seem like important scenes that you would probably film first or will last, but you know what I mean? But, you know, it'd be like, cause it doesn't like they're 2 minutes long. Like, and this movie's not really well acted. I think all the reshoots were adding stuff in the second half of the movie that try to make it like more cornball, more like an action movie. Because it gets pretty action movie-y. Like, everyone just starts punching. Everyone punches at least one person in the face. Like, that's the punchline. That's the literal punchline of the movie, is that someone gets hit in the face, like, every 5 minutes in the second half of the movie.
Yeah.
Like, Gerard Butler punches the British dude in the face, and then the brother character punches. I don't even remember the names of the characters, but the brother character. Yeah, the president punches somebody in the face, I think.
I think so, too. I could say the president.
Because he says, I'm the president of the United States, bam, and punches the guy in the face. Best part of the whole movie.
So, very quick. So, together, Chris, we're going to say what our favorite parts of the movie was on the count of three. Ready?
Okay.
One, two, three.
Because I'm the president of the United States of America.
The chasing under the bridge.
Yeah, that's second.
Florida.
Yeah.
Them shooting at each other while lightning striking above them. I screwed that up because I screwed that up. But yeah, that's it. The scene where they're just, you know, having a car chase. She's going. Abby Cornish is like driving backwards while shooting the bad guys that are in their car.
I keep calling them the Russian guys. I don't even know if that was what they were. Were they Russian?
They just seem Russian.
Because the whole movie makes no sense. Like, the whole plot of the movie is just all over the place, and I don't know who was working for who or why, and for what reason.
Well, it's a very deep organization, Chris. It's where Ed Harris is the bad guy, and he's controlling everything, and he wants,
as the Secretary of State,
he wants the whole world to go die in a terrible geostorm.
Well,
America could be amazing again.
Yeah, let's explain just the general, like, not even plot of the movie, but just the idea of the movie, I guess, is what you could call it. Can I do it? So for anybody who doesn't know,
you would do it better than me.
For anybody who doesn't know, and I'll keep this very brief, Geostorm is a movie about Gerard Butler building a space station and a set of satellites around Earth to prevent natural disasters from happening, which was pulled together by Gerard Butler's brother, who is also dating a secret service agent. I'm getting already off track. But his brother helped him build the station and get like a bunch of other countries, essentially the UN, to fund and build the satellites in the space station to control the weather on planet Earth. Okay, that makes sense. Problem is that the United States, up until the start of the movie, is holding all control of the satellite built and funded by an international community of countries. Okay. So then they're like, uh-oh, the satellites are malfunctioning and causing blizzards and stuff in Afghanistan. Go fix it, Gerard Butler. And he's like, okay. And while he's up there, he waits an hour into the movie and then realizes, oh no, it's a conspiracy. And then everyone around the world, the brother, Gerard Butler, there's some other people, they realize that somebody is behind using the storm satellites to use them as a weapon. And they got to punch a bunch of people in the face and look at a bunch of computer monitors along the way. That's it. And then they do it.
And then
there's so much.
Yep. And then they save the world.
If I can go ahead and skip, can I go ahead and skip to the recommendation? Watch this movie with a bunch of friends. Make it like a take a shot every time there's a cliche, And then by that time, you're already buzzed in the second half of the film, and then the second half of the film becomes that more enjoyable. You'll be bored out of your mind and taking shots the first half, and then you'll just be like laughing yourself silly in the second. It's a perfect party movie. Just put it on in the back. Just put it on the background and look around, and you'll see the girl whipping around, and you'll be like, "What's happening in this movie?" They used to just be looking at computer monitors. What's even better than that is when she rams the car out from under the overpass, and then it gets struck by lightning and blows up.
Yep, that's incredible.
I don't know what else to say about Geostorm. I give up. Your turn.
And to wrap it all up, there's a scene where Ed Harris gets a giant bazooka and down the self-driving taxi. They specifically say this, so you'll know exactly how they got out and was and, yeah. and the taxi was able to drive by itself.
Don't worry, it's a self-driving taxi.
No one was driving in it.
That whole scene is stupid because they make the point of like it's a self-driving taxi, so you're like, okay. Then like later when you see the car driving towards Ed Harris with the bazooka or an RPG or whatever, he blows it up.
It looks like it's empty.
And you're not worried because one, it's empty and you can tell it's empty. And two, because you know, it's a self-driving car. So no one like gasped when it blew up because of course they're going to come around the corner and punch him in the face.
Yeah, they just come out of the bushes. Like, they were just sitting there watching. Yeah. They must have been sitting there while watching, like, we're going to catch him. It's going to be so funny.
It's just the scene from Emperor's New Groove with Yzma and Krunk, like, getting to the palace before Kuzco does. And then, like, Krunk pulls down the map, and he's, like, looking at the dotted lines, and he's like, yeah, none of it makes sense, whatever. But that's a cartoon, and that's funny. This is just kind of like, well, it's great because it's like, who thought this would fly? But
typical Roland. I know it's not directed by Roland Emmerich, or I don't even think he's involved with the movie. But I mean, it's a typical. It's a kind of a movie you would see in the mid to late '90s.
We're in a post Roland Emmerich world where, honestly, I'm surprised that I forget what it was called, the disaster movie with Rock, the earthquake one.
Oh, San Andreas.
Yeah. Why are we still making these movies?
Because we like to see the world crumble.
I guess.
I don't know. This is very interesting because
I miss like the days when it was just like one tornado or
like Twister.
Yeah. Or like just it was a human story about people surviving like a threat and coming together and learning about humanity and stuff. Kind of, not really, but you know, like there was a little bit of a human element to it. This is just boring, and even the movie's bored with all the disaster.
This isn't boring though.
No, it's well,
this isn't even, I didn't find it boring. There's nothing boring about this movie.
The movie's bored with itself. The movie's bored with itself. It's always cutting away from the disasters. It's just people running away from CGI waves and fire and tornadoes, just running in a one direction away from stuff, and then it cuts away to them looking at computer monitors, and then it cuts back to them running away from CGI, and then it cuts back to the president punching somebody in the face.
Yeah, I mean it's like a big budget version of those Asylum movies. Yeah. Where just like random stuff happens.
Yeah, it does.
But they have
like
a bigger budget.
It's like
but they have a bigger budget.
Yeah, it's like one of those Transmorphers or whatever, or Snakes on a Train, where it's like obviously a ripoff of something, but there's nothing it's being ripped off of specifically.
Oh, I mean, they rip off other Roland Emmerich movies. I mean, The Day After Tomorrow is like the big one with everyone running from a storm.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, there's even a scene where a girl runs from an airplane falling on top of her.
Yeah.
A frozen airplane, I might add. A frozen airplane. Mm-hmm.
Which conveniently falls in the alleyway, and the plane is alleyway-sized, and it only clips the wings.
Yeah.
What's actually funny is the movie doesn't even go out of its way to show that she's okay. Like, it shows her, like, just stuff bouncing off of her, but it doesn't really show that she was okay. It was weird.
She's probably all right. She just probably had some scrapes and bruises.
Yeah.
She's fine. So, this is... I can't... Here's the thing, listeners. I cannot describe how stupidly awesome this movie is. You just have to see it. Because the thing is about this movie,
don't let him go
is,
see Geostorm.
No, this is too wait till, like, amazing Redbox to pass up. Okay, that's fair. You go, if you don't want to spend
$20,
the $20 to see this movie. Don't just wait till, like, what is Redbox now, like $2?
$2.
And then have everyone over on your big 4K TV screen that's the size of half of the moon and see it on a big screen. I mean, this is one of those movies where Dean Devlin has successfully recaptured what it feels like to watch a movie in the 90s and what it's like to essentially, like, see a really dumb and stupid movie, whereas nowadays, when we see a dumb and stupid movie, it's convoluted and there's a lot of immaturity in there, like a Transformers movie. I mean, for me, when I look at those Transformers movies, the plot is so convoluted and there's so many things happening at once that you cannot follow. The humor is so lowbrow that you feel higher. You feel like you're higher than this, whereas Geostorm, I feel like, is the opposite of that, where it's simple. There's a plot to assassinate the president using a giant geostorm. They gotta destroy the geostorm making device.
Yeah, I'll give you that. It's the plot of the movie, or like the villain's plot rather, doesn't make a whole lot of sense. But you're right. It's just kind of
most convoluted. It's the most. I mean, I'll give you that. It's the most convoluted assassination plot, or the most complicated.
But it's kind of like you're like, yeah, sure, whatever.
I mean, John Wilkes Booth is probably thinking, just shoot him in the head.
Yeah, just put a bomb under the podium. It's not that hard. Like, if you can, like, get, like, one guy to mess with code on a spaceship up above Earth to, like, place sandstorms all over the planet and tsunamis, couldn't you just take a little less resources and just put a bomb in the podium? Because all Ed Harris wanted was just to – I honestly don't remember. Like, he wanted to become president and also destroy all of America's enemies or something.
Yeah, he – which, if you look at the map, it's, like, everywhere.
Yeah.
It's, like, every – like, the –
he's targeting places like Rio and Japan. Last time I checked, Ed Harris, Rio de Janeiro and Japan aren't technically enemies of the United States.
I know. Isn't that – I know. Well, it's a great place to – it's a – great place to have ice.
I remember he was trying to make it seem like the international team of people working on the space station were incompetent and like, oh no, we can't control our own computers or whatever, and now everything's getting blown up by fire tornadoes or something. And then it would not go to the UN, it would stay in the US's control or whatever. Was that it?
While also destroying all of anyone powerful enough to outmatch the U.S.
The United States, like Rio de Janeiro. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this is... Maybe he wanted to do a couple places so it wouldn't seem like every enemy got hit. So that's why Rio de Janeiro
got hit. Everything getting hit at the same time makes it seem not like an accident. Like, it makes it seem like pretty obvious. Like, huh.
So... Yeah. Oh, one more thing we got to talk about is basically the ridiculous ending. So the movie ends.
That, I feel, was a reworked ending.
Yeah, because
it just feels... I think he died in the original version.
I wonder if he did, because... And unfortunately, it's just too soon to know what was in the original cut. What was it? Well, hold on. Before we go any further, I think we should inform the viewers. I know we're getting a little off track.
Yeah,
I think we should inform the viewers that this movie was shot.
Viewers, if you're lost, this is what I felt like watching Geostorm. What you're feeling right now is how I felt watching Geostorm.
Well, we should mention that this movie was shot almost 3 years ago. Like, they started filming in December of 2014, and then 2 years later, they finally called the actors back to do reshoots because, and it's out on the shelf because, I don't know if you know this, but this was actually supposed to come out on the same weekend as Batman v Superman.
That would have been funny.
Like, that's the original. But it got moved because of the whole Batman v Superman and Civil War coming out at the same time. So they just kind of dished it. And then finally around December of last year, they got around to finally like ordering the reshoots because I guess Jerry Bruckheimer was their one and only person that came in and was like, yeah, I know what to do. I know what to do, guys. Let's go back to the 90s. Let's do what me and Don Simpson would do.
Yeah.
And that's so going back to the ending had to have been reshaped because I mean it still looks fantastic. Like it doesn't look like, I mean it's still a big bombastic ending, but still, you know, it had to have been like, it just feels like the movie goes out of its way so much to build to this dramatic climax and for it to be like, oh nope, Gerard Butler lives.
Well, it's funny because it's the most. I had flashbacks to the ending to Independence Day, where Will Smith and Jeff Goldblum are like walking away from the crashed ship, and everyone's like waving American flags and stuff. There's fireworks going off in the daytime. I had that kind of feeling with this, where I think originally Gerard Butler was going to die because the ending is, oh no, the spaceship's self-destructing and I got to put in the kill codes and everyone else gets off the space station and into shuttles and he stays behind to be the hero. And I think originally he was supposed to die on the spaceship or something, but then they rework it so that one of the higher-ups managing people of the space station stays behind. What was he, a French lady? Stays
German
behind
lady,
and
German
or German. Yeah. I don't even remember. The German lady, stays behind and, they get on a shuttle and head back to Earth or something. And everyone's like, yay, our heroes. And then they fish and then they get bored.
Yeah.
I mean, now that I think about it. Yeah. If you like 90s schlock, big blockbuster disaster stuff. Yeah, this would fit into your collection just fine.
Yep. If you like that kind of movie, good for you. Here's my thing. I don't fully like recommend it. Like I would never give, I'm not going to give this movie an A or a 5-star review.
No.
But I will say this. If you're looking for something fun to watch that's less than 2 hours and you want to be and you want to just have fun with your friends, have some snack food and treats, go see this, go watch this movie and even wait till Redbox if you feel like it's not worth the $12. I mean, we're about to get Thor Ragnarok, so
yeah, go see that. I heard that's good.
Yeah, so I recommend. So I give this a mild recommendation in that this is a fun movie to watch, but not a great movie to watch.
No, I'll agree with that. And like I said before, just kind of make a drinking game out of it because you know I wish I did when I saw it. But yeah, I mean it's doesn't really go full charm. Like the second half feels more 90s schlock charm. You know, like I was missing the Roland Emmerich style stuff like you'd see in his movies where you have your cast of diverse characters and everyone's got the stereotypical personality and it's just got that good old. Yeah, but not really. It's not fully there. It doesn't reach that level. A lot of the characters are just kind of boring. Like even Gerard Butler should have had a little bit more charisma to him. But it gets there close enough. It's got like the formula. But yeah, it does not have an original bone in its body. Like it's legit just TV tropes, cliches, the script.
Someone's been reading some screenwriting books.
Yeah, it is just everything. Like, nothing's a surprise. Nothing's a twist. But it's got a few good moments in there that you'll go like, yeah, and you'll clap and like, because of how stupid it all is. Yeah, so I give it a similar recommendation based on that. But otherwise,
skip all right. It. Oh, one more thing. So wait, why would a space station that's built to destroy like all the weathers have like a death ray?
Kale.
Oh wait, we can't.
I'd love to start this train with you, but
we'll be here for 3 hours.
We would be here forever. Watch it for yourself and just marvel at all the stuff that, like, you're like, wait, if Gerard Butler built this, shouldn't he know about X? And why would a weather satellite have a death laser? There's a lot of that in this movie. So if you like seeing that stuff and going crazy with, like, just like, what, why, and all that kind of whatever, and just crazy weirdness, you'll love this movie.
Yeah. All right. So, Chris, where can the good people find you?
Well, I'm not going to give people my street address, if that's what you're thinking.
Oh, okay. All right. I thought you had a Twitter or something.
Oh, I have a Twitter that I never use. It's Chris Patton 1994 or something. I didn't even give it a name. Like, it's just,
I think I know it better than you do.
Yeah, it's just, I'll give it some kind of name, but, or just my name, I guess, like at Chris Patton, or if that's taken, I don't know.
I'll put it.
I might start using it. I might put some funny musings on there, like every other millennial, and Donald Trump, apparently. That's actually kind of something I was hoping in this movie. Like, you know, in Geostorm, when they're starting to talk about, like, do you think the president's behind the Geostorm? And I wanted it to cut stock footage of Trump.
But we already established that the president was Andy Garcia.
I know, but that would have been funny.
Oh, and this takes place in the future. So,
oh, well, hey, been impossible. Yeah, you know, whatever. Actually, it doesn't say how long in the future. It just says,
like, it's a pretty modern.
It just said in 2019 it got real hot, and I said, "Well, how long after is that?"
Yeah.
I don't want to talk about Geostorm anymore. I'm done.
Hey, and you guys can find me at Movie Kale on Twitter. You can also follow this podcast at The Youth Critic, and you can also follow the channel that distributes this podcast at KHZ Network. Please subscribe to KHZ Network on iTunes. Leave us a comment. Tell us how we're doing.
Or not, you know, if you don't have time. We don't blame you.
And we'll be back next week with something. I don't know. We'll be back next week with something. I don't know. I don't know what we'll talk about. We'll be back next week.
Wait, no, that's 2 weeks from now. I'm salty. I hate, like, I'm like looking at people talking about Thor and I'm like, oh, I can see that. And then I look at the calendar. I'm like, oh, wait, no, I gotta wait.
I know. All right. All right, Chris, thanks for coming. And we will be back with everyone next week.
Can I watch a good movie?